everybody. Let's worship our God together. Here we go.
For a thousand tongues to sing my great Redeemer's praise, the glories of my God and King, the triumphs of His grace.
Sing the second verse.
My gracious Master and my God, assist me to proclaim, to spread through all the earth abroad the honors of Thy name.
One more verse, sing His name.
Jesus, the name that charms our fears, that bids our sorrows cease. 'Tis music in the sinner's ears, 'tis life and health and peace.
All right, let's sing His praise.
Washing over me. cross. Thank you for your blood. Thank you for your grace. Thank you for your love. I'm so thankful, Lord, for all you've done for me. I just have to shout and sing.
Yes. Well, we have the joy of celebrating baptisms this week on our online service and next week in our indoor services here at CA with our Student Ministries Weekend. So let's hear the stories and celebrate this week's baptisms now.
My name is Joe. Before I trusted Christ with my life, I lived with envy and anger. I was impatient and frustrated with many outcomes of my daily decisions, feeling like a passenger on a bus with no GPS or compass. Though I attained many of my life's goals, I realized that I still felt unsatisfied. When the pandemic hit, I began following CA online, mostly from a place of skepticism. I was drawn in by many daily touchpoints and digital discipleships. Finally, one weekend service resonated with me, paralleling what I had been going through. So much so that I knew it was time to fully commit my life to the Lord. I want to be baptized today as a step towards a more peaceful life, one that focuses more on caring for others and leads to true satisfaction and contentment in the Lord.
Joe, because of your faith in Jesus, we baptize you in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit.
My name is Marco, and I want to be baptized as an expression of rededicating myself to the Lord. My rededication to Christ was sparked while I was serving time in prison, and someone asked if I was a believer. That one question convicted me and made me think that if I was asked that, then my life did not reflect that I was a believer. I prayed and began to seek God and develop a new personal relationship with Christ. I acknowledged that I lived a very self-serving lifestyle. I hurt and disappointed many of those that I claimed to love, including myself. Now, because of Jesus, I can celebrate that by grace, God has given me freedom, peace, and love, which permeates in my life today. I am truly grateful.
Marco, because of your faith in Jesus, we baptize you in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Life, you are love, you bring life.
the darkness, you give hope, you restore every heart that is broken. And great are you, Lord. It's your bread, God. It's your bread in our lungs. So we pour out our praise. We pour out our praise. It's your bread in our lungs. So we pour out our praise again.
So good to worship God together, isn't it? Would you pray with me? God, we thank you that we get to sing for joy. Even as we've heard in 1 Peter, that you want us to be truly glad. So mark us with a spirit of joy as we worship you. Lord, we thank you for your goodness. And even now, we want to pray and just thank God. Is there something you want to thank God for from this week? Maybe something good came your way. Maybe it's just not a circumstance. Maybe it's a person, a family member, a coworker, a neighbor. Maybe it's the beauty of the creation around us we get to see, from the beaches to the mountains even, from sunsets or sunrises. God, we thank you for your beauty, for your goodness, for your provision and joy all around us. And Lord, now we want to lay our requests before you. What requests do you want to bring to God? Where do you need God to just receive maybe some anxiety you feel? Cast your anxiety upon him, for he cares for you. So God, we do that now. We give you our concerns, our worries, so we don't have to carry them, trusting your goodness. Who do you need to pray for? Maybe it's a friend, a family member, a coworker, a neighbor, a classmate. Pray for them now. God, we ask that you would draw these people that you're bringing to mind closer to you and closer to one another, that we would grow in the knowledge and love of God and experience the good plan you have for us. We pray for the church to be strengthened and built up, not only in LA, but all around the world as you're doing. We pray, God, that we would experience your goodness and the joy that you desire for us to have. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, welcome everyone. My name is Tom. For any of you who are visitors or guests, I am so glad that you are joining us today, and I want to give you a special welcome. Of course, welcome to my CA family as well. A few quick announcements to let you know. Next week is our Christian Assembly Student Ministries weekend, both online as well as for our indoor services. We're going to have the great opportunity and chance to hear from Jake Walker, who's one of our youth pastors, but we're also going to have our students involved with us in the leading of worship as well in other ways. And the Student Ministries weekend is always a highlight for me to hear all about what God is up to. Also, I want to thank you and encourage you to continue giving online through our Christian Assembly Los Angeles app that you can download onto your phone, or through our website, cachurch.com, by clicking on the Give tab. You can do that either as a one-time offering or tithe, or you can set it up as a recurring offering or tithe as well, which makes it a little easier as we continue to respond to God's generosity. But I want to thank you for your generosity as you continue to respond to God's provision in your life and sowing back into all the goodness that God wants to do in us and through us and among us as a church family and around the world. Well, I have been waiting for this weekend for a while. Today, we get the opportunity to hear from Keith Jenkins, who is a close friend, a dear brother of mine, and a friend of CA. Now, Keith is not only a personal friend of mine, but Keith has spoken in our weekend services before and also multiple times at our men's ministry events, including the recent men's conference we had. Keith serves as the lead pastor of East Hill Church near Portland, Oregon. And Keith and his dear wife, Coco, who I love dearly as well, have three adult children and one precious little granddaughter. And so we have the joy and privilege to hear God's word shared with us by Keith. So let's lean in and hear today's sermon from Keith.
Hey, good morning, Christian Assembly. Your friend and brother, Keith Jenkins, all the way from Gresham, Oregon. Shout out to all of you. Such a privilege to be with you this morning. Look forward to ministering the word of God. But let me just say, first of all, thank you so much to Tom, the staff, Marvin, Albert, everybody. Love the staff there. They're the ones that I know right off the top of my head. Sarah. Just love what you're doing, the mission of the church. Such a great example to so many churches, including my own. Just appreciate you. And so I know that you guys have great teachers, great communicators on staff. And so I get to have this free shot, this one-off, not a part of a series, not doing anything, and just want to share my heart with you this morning. Last year, 2020, was crazy, to say the least. And I found myself battling discouragement off and on, and primarily because we were waiting, and I felt like we were waiting to open, we were waiting to find out if we were going to come back to church, and then months turned into a year of waiting, and I found myself going to the Word of God for encouragement. For me, that's where I go when I'm facing discouragement and need answers, direction, didn't know how to lead, didn't know how to navigate, how to bring our people through this. And so in the waiting, I went back to the scriptures and found some encouragement, found some direction, found some peace, some hope, some joy. I'll just confess. Let me just confess this right away. I will confess that I hate waiting for anything. If I'm in a line at Starbucks and I give you my order, I expect my order to come out quickly. Come on, if we're at a stoplight and the light turns green, I don't understand why 2 seconds later you're still sitting at the stoplight. The light turned green. Stop checking your cell phone and get out of the way. How many of you know what I'm talking about? So I got you. But there's an article that said 90% of the people that have heart attacks are A-type personality people who are habitually impatient. So let's pump the brakes a little bit. Maybe we need to figure out how to wait in the presence of the Lord a little better. But John Ortberg said this, this quote, and it says, biblically, waiting is not just something we have to do until we get what we want, but waiting is part of the process of becoming who God wants us to be. The waiting shapes something in us that nothing else can. So we'll have to talk about that a little bit, but let me just say this. I don't know if you found this to be true, but there's always a gap between declaration or the intention of a thing and its fulfillment. And in other words, this sort of a gestation period of time where something happens in between, but all of us are living between a promise, something we're believing God for, something that we're trusting God for, and its fulfillment. And where we will spend most of our journey in our walk with the Lord is in the middle, in this gap. And one of the classic portions of scripture is found in Genesis chapter 12 through Genesis chapter 21, where Abraham and Sarah, Abraham's chosen, just to recap, just a brief overview of that portion of text, is Abraham is chosen to be a patriarch of the nation of Israel. There's just one problem. And God promises him that he's going to be a great nation. Only one problem is his wife is barren and they don't have any children. And so if you're not careful, you'll read Genesis 12 through 21 in a sitting. You can read it, you know, if you're a fast reader, you can read it in one sitting. Well, what takes you one, you know, maybe 30 minutes to an hour to read, took them 25 years to live. And so it's a lot easier to read something than it is to actually live it. And they live with the questions. They live with the disappointments. They live with the deferment of their hope. Proverbs 13 and 12 is very clear when it says, hope deferred makes the heart sick. There's something about waiting and the hope, the thing that we've hoped for, not coming and being deferred. Not denied, but deferred. We don't know what's the obscurity, what the obstacle, what's in the way that's not allowing it to come in our lives. And in that waiting, discouragement comes. In that waiting, we doubt, disillusionment comes into play. Ultimately, we can find ourselves actually abandoning faith. People have abandoned the faith while waiting on God for something and not understanding that all of us are going to spend some time in God's waiting room. Isn't that true? We're all going to be there, whether you're waiting on a spouse, waiting to conceive a child, waiting on healing and deliverance in some area, and restoration in your life in some way, waiting for reconciliation with somebody you really care about, but it seems like the relationship is just strange, strained. Maybe waiting on a financial blessing or breakthrough of some kind, or maybe it's a wayward child that you raised in the faith, raised in your house, and now all of a sudden they've gone their own way. And so you're waiting, as it were. And we're going to all go through seasons of waiting like this. And I'm going to say that again and again until all of us get it. And one of the things that I did is I camped out in Psalm 27 with David as the writer and the author. And one of the things that you'll notice about him in his writings in the book of Psalm is that he writes under duress. He writes while being chased. He writes in affliction. He writes with no certain dwelling place, with no home, uncertainty in the future of his life. And he writes these words that are, to me, they encompass the human experience, all of the emotions. And some psalms, he seems schizophrenic, where he's joy-filled, and then the next verse, he wants to kill his enemies. But in this particular psalm, in 27, he gives us a bold declaration of his faith and confident trust in the Lord, and he challenges us to wait. But just listen to some of the declarations that he makes in Psalm 27, verse 1 and 2. He says this, "The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the stronghold of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? When the wicked advance against me to devour me, it is my enemies and my foes who stumble and fall." And he is being chased. He has enemies that are after him. And this is his declaration of faith. He is not seeing deliverance presently. He is anticipating. He is expecting. He is looking forward to it. And that's the posture that we're supposed to take in the waiting. Waiting is not some passive exercise that we go through. It is actual action. We demonstrate our faith as we wait, and our trust. We pray, we worship, we serve, we do all of those things as we wait. How about verse 5? "For in the day of trouble, he will keep me safe in his dwelling. He will hide me in the shelter of his sacred tent and set me high upon a rock." I love the faith. I love the expectation of deliverance, that God will attend to him. Amen. How many found last year in 2020, as you waited, that there's some days you didn't know how you were going to get through, and then you got through that day to another day, and you found out that God was indeed able to sustain you and to provide for you and to protect you? When it gets down into verse 13 and 14, which is where I want to live for a moment of time, it gives us sort of the posture of our hearts and what I want to talk about this morning. It says, verse 13, I remain confident in this. So this is what he's confident in. This is the thing that's giving him hope. I will see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Wait for the Lord, be strong and take heart and wait for the Lord. He says this as a definitive statement, not I might, not I think. It is a faith declaration that says, even though I don't presently see it, even though my present circumstances don't look like it, but how many recognize that anything that we temporarily see is subject to change in this world? God always has the last word on our circumstances and situations. And David apparently has his heart aligned with the Lord and the promises of God, the deliverance of God, which he's already seen. Remember, when he goes out to Goliath, he tells Saul, by the way, this giant is nothing because I've already killed a lion and a bear, and he's gonna have the same fate. And so he's got some things already, a track record of God's faithfulness, a track record of God's deliverances, that he's replaying past victories, past deliverances, past rescues from the Lord. That's what you gotta do while you wait. That's how you keep yourself encouraged. Go back and remember what God did, what God said. How did God come through in the past? He's always been faithful. He's always come through. I say this all the time, and our church cracks up when I say it, and I'm just going to say it to you. It's like, God is never late, but he sure misses a lot of good opportunities to be early. Isn't it true that we just find ourselves waiting, and it is not a passive, listen, it's not a passive exercise. We have to trust God. And remember this, the strength of a promise is rooted in the character of the one who promises. The strength of a promise is always rooted in the character of the one that promises. Weak character, that is, if it's a weak character who promises, then that promise is not as sure as it would be for someone who has impeccable character, which is what the Lord has. He has impeccable character. He will not fail us. He cannot lie. He doesn't change. And so in that, we can say, if he said it, come on, like the old Bible teachers would say, that settles it and I believe it. Yeah? Let that keep you. So can we reframe waiting a little bit? Let's reframe it. What is happening? What is going on? Are there any benefits? Is there anything to be gained in the waiting? And I would say yes. I don't like to wait, but there are some fruits that come out of my life as a result of the waiting that I can't get any other way. How about this? Number one, waiting is a time of preparation and cultivation. Waiting is a time of preparation and cultivation. Take a look at James chapter 5 and verse 7. It says this, "Be patient then, brothers and sisters, until the Lord's coming. See how the farmer waits for the land to yield its crop, patiently waiting for the autumn and spring rains. You too be patient and stand firm because of the Lord's coming is near." And so James is pointing to the end of the age when Jesus is coming to return in victory and in power. But he's saying that as you're waiting, you're going to wait. He uses a metaphor, agricultural metaphor, to give us an indication of what our activity and our posture should be like as we wait. And so he's talking about farming. Now, I'm a city boy and I know nothing about farming, but I pastor in Gresham, Oregon, where there are literal farmers that go to our church. Happened to talk to one about this and I said, "So talk to me about farming." And we got to talking and I will just tell you what I found out about farming is that it is constant activity. It is never, never done. Nothing is ever done. In fact, you need to recognize that farmers don't go out and plant seed in the spring and then go binge Netflix for the next 3 months until it's harvest time. No, he told me, man, we're out getting equipment maintained, upgrading, you know, equipment, cultivating the crops, constantly fertilizing, chasing pests away, making sure the elements, making sure, you know, it's not too cold or too hot and keeping everything irrigated. All of these things, it is constant. And so it says something to me about my activity when I'm waiting on the Lord. And if I'm waiting on a promise or waiting for the Lord to come through in an area, what should I be doing? I should be reading. I should be praying. I should be developing myself, maybe intellectually. I should be trying to get healed emotionally. If I'm waiting on somebody, for instance, if you're somebody that's been waiting to be in a relationship, may I ask, are you dateable? Are you in a posture where you actually add something to someone else's life that benefits them, that would prosper them even more spiritually, emotionally, financially, all of the ways that we involve ourselves in relationship and impart to one another. And so I started thinking about it. I was like, oh my gosh. So then literally sometimes while we're sitting there saying, we're waiting on you, God, and getting frustrated, God is like, no, I'm waiting on you. I'm waiting on you to get yourself together. I'm waiting on you to go back and get a degree. I know you want a $100,000 job, but nobody's going to pay you a $100,000 job without skills and education. And so there's a preparation and a cultivation. How about if it's not so much that you're waiting on God, that God is waiting on you? John 16 and 12 said to Jesus, the disciples were with Jesus and Jesus was talking to them. And he says, I have yet many things to say to you, but you cannot bear or grasp them now. In other words, Jesus has some things he wants to share to them, but they're not mature enough. Their intellect can't grasp it. These are maybe large things or hurtful things potentially to their own understanding that could hurt them because they're not of sufficient maturity or ability to grasp it, to discern it, to appreciate it. And so there's certain things we just don't talk to our kids about at certain ages and stages. And we speak to them in age appropriate terms. And this is what Jesus was doing with the disciples. But I wonder if some of the revelation that we're lacking in our life is coming because we haven't waited on the Lord in the sense that we haven't prepared and cultivated and gotten ourselves to the next level of growth as the Holy Spirit would lead us. Amen. How about this? Number two, there are benefits in the waiting seasons of life. There are benefits. I know it's crazy, but there are. Isaiah 40 and 31 says this, but those who wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary, and they shall walk and not faint. Number one, supernatural strength comes into our life as we wait. There's an empowerment that comes from the Holy Spirit that can only come from waiting. It is like the disciples in the upper room as they waited for the Holy Spirit to come. And as they spill out of that upper room, having waited those 50 days to Pentecost, they come out in the power of the Holy Spirit, prophesying, laying hands on the sick, shadows are being healed, handkerchiefs are being healed, the city is turned upside down, and the gospel goes around the world. Because why? They waited on the Lord. Now, metaphorically, it says that you'll mount up with wings like an eagle. So there's this idea that we start soaring through life as we wait for God. He gives us the ability to rise above things because we waited on him. Our hope begins to rise. Our countenance begins to rise. Our fallen hopes and dreams begin to have resurrection life and rise again as we wait in the presence of the Lord. We get to run without fatigue or burnout. Come on, somebody. How many know that if we waited longer, we wouldn't have this thing called burnout? We would wait for God's instructions and his supernatural empowerment, and we go in the power of his strength and not the power of our own might. You'll walk and you won't faint. You won't lose heart. You won't be discouraged. You'll be able to go forward. Amen. Number three says this, we always get God's best when we wait. We always get God's best when we wait. Now, I'm not going to spend a long time on this, but I'm going to ask the question, and I want honest hearts out there. If you're online in the chat with somebody, I want you to chat them up and just tell us, I understand, amen, or something at this. Watch this. All of us have tasted the bitter fruit of impatience. Somehow in our life, we thought we knew better. We were a little bit impatient waiting on the Lord. And maybe we thought, well, we'll just help him out a little bit. Or maybe we wanted to date somebody. We were lonely. All of a sudden we started dating the wrong person. Come on, ladies. Have you ever kissed a frog imagining that he would turn into a prince and he didn't? Yeah, we've all done it. We've all been in a hurry and not trusting God's timing. Not trusting God's heart for us, that he would withhold no good thing from us. And so there's this place in the waiting that we know that if we wait, we're going to get God's best. When it comes, not if, but when the season of fulfillment comes, we're going to get God's best. And the same thing happened for us in redemption. The Bible says in the book of Colossians that in the fullness of time, Jesus was manifest. And so we've got to let time have its work in us, developing, preparing, cultivating us, giving us the strength that we'll need to endure so we're not a flash in the pan. Come on, somebody. And so there is this sense that I don't know about you, but I've eaten some bitter fruit from being impatient. didn't wait for the Lord. Oh yeah, I got the thing that I wanted, but because I got it in a time that wasn't prescribed, it wasn't as great of a blessing as it could have been. I got it, it was there, it was in my life, but it didn't bless me. It wasn't something that would sustain and be fruitful the way that God had intended it to be in my life. And lastly, how about this one? Always, always, always wait in community. Ecclesiastes 4 and 9 through 12 says this, two are better than one because they have a good return for their labor. If either of them falls down, one can help them up. But pity anyone who falls and has no one to hold to help them up. Also, if two lie down together, they will keep warm. But how can one keep warm alone? Though one may be overpowered, two can defend themselves. A cord of three strands is not quickly broken. Familiar portion of scripture. All of that to say is that when you're waiting, and we already know that we're going to wait. Now, if you wait a short period of time, no problem. But if you got to wait for something and it's getting longer than you anticipated, you got to wait in a crowd. You got to wait in community. There's strength that comes from being with other believers, other brothers and sisters who are on the same journey with you. And there is this impartation of strength that comes to one another. We provoke one another to love and good works when we're together. We bear one another's burdens together. In other words, there's going to be moments of time when I'm waiting that I'm going to want to draw back. Discouragement and the deferment of hope has done its work in my soul, and I'm just ready to quit and throw it all in, and I need another brother or sister to come alongside of me and say, no, God's faithful. God's going to come through to remind me of my faith's confession that maybe in the darkness of the moment, I lost what God spoke to me in the light. I lost the sense of confident trust and expectation that God was going to come through in the waiting. So we got to wait in a crowd. You know, I've had some experiences personally where our family member was really sick, and maybe even my daughter thought she was going to lose her life. And I'll never forget the people that came to wait with me in the ICU, came in a waiting room, came to have Thanksgiving dinner with us as we were at the hospital. They waited with us. And as they waited, you know, there'd be moments and times where maybe we would cry or become emotional. And they were there to support and to bear us up, pray for us, lighten the load. Sometimes the waiting, they would come and bring coffee and different things like that. But how many of you recognize that you're going to need someone to help you as you wait? Because we were never meant to be independent. We are interdependent. That's why Paul uses the body as a metaphor to communicate our interpersonal relationships in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. We are many members, but we're one body. And there is this American mentality of individualism that robs us of that truth. All you have to do is find some people in Near Eastern cultures or in the Middle East or other cultures outside of the United States where they are forced to live in community to even survive day to day. We can learn something from them. Though we're more technologically advanced, we've lost some things. We've lost our sense of oneness together, our sense of being a family and not these separate individuals. And so while you wait, man, you got to wait in community. You got to wait with folks. You got to wait so they can provoke you. Iron sharpens iron. Come on, man. You need somebody to speak life into you in those moments when you would back up. And all the while, you got to recognize that I'm waiting because God is shaping me into the image of Christ. That's the ultimate product in the waiting. You say, well, man, he's just messing with me. No. What he's doing is he's shaping your image. He's reshaping, retooling you so that you and I look like the image of Christ. There's something to be said about waiting as well, that those of us that are impatient in the waiting, patience is actually a mark of spiritual maturity. I need that mark. I'm pressing toward that mark. So listen, I don't know where you are this morning, whether you know, you've been waiting for a long time, and maybe you've been a bridesmaid numerous times. Maybe you are waiting for a child and suffered through multiple miscarriages, and or you can't get pregnant. And that there's just all these concerns, or maybe it's been hard for your business through 2020, and you've prayed and you've asked God, and you kept the doors open and tried to keep your employees, you know, sort of taken care of and provided for, and you've done everything you possibly can, and you're still waiting for the thing to turn, still waiting for a tipping point, still waiting for a breakthrough, still waiting for God to show up. Have you ever felt like in a night season, we just talked about this last Sunday at our church, have you ever felt like in a night season while you're waiting on God, you just thought, where is God? Where are you? Why aren't you here yet? Same thing in John chapter 11 when Lazarus is buried and his sisters come out and they say, man, you know, sister says to Jesus, if you had been here, man, this wouldn't have happened. This wouldn't have went down like this. But even Lazarus being dead didn't stop Jesus, because Jesus is resurrection and life. So what I would say to you is, let Jesus resurrect your hopes this morning. Let Jesus resurrect your strength this morning. Can you, even if you can't maybe get on your feet spiritually in your faith, maybe you can get on your knees. Maybe you can just lift your head a little bit and say, Lord, I believe, but help my unbelief. Help me in this moment to wait in your presence with confident expectation that you will come through, because you are a promise keeper. And I would say again to you, the strength of a promise is found in the character, the strength of the character, the one who promised. I love you. CA, I appreciate you. Go with God. God's going to go with you. See you soon.
Ascribe by trade. Ooh.
Hey, thank you everyone for being with us today online. And thank you, Keith, for sharing and speaking with us today from God's Word. If you made a decision to follow Christ at any point during our service, or you'd like to know more about what it means to follow Jesus, let us know so that we can have a pastor follow up with you. You can email us at the address below or go to our webpage listed below as well. Let me close our time with this benediction from Psalm 121. The Lord will keep you from all harm. He will watch over your life. The Lord will watch over your coming and going, both now and forevermore. May it be so in Jesus' name. See you next week, everyone.